Yeah, we got good things in store for us. You believe that? Oh, I believe it, friends. God's up to something. Oh, my. God's up to something. I said He's up to something. I can feel it in the air. God's up to something. Amen. You know, the anointing, it starts at the top and it works its way down to the body. Jesus is the head of the church. We are, as the church, the body of Christ. And the anointing starts at the head and works its way down. Well, the same thing is true spiritually speaking. And I just get the sense God is raising the quality of the anointing, even in our services. Amen. And I guarantee you it's going to have a trickle-down effect. Well, where's it trickling to? You. Amen. And you're going to see a difference in your life and in your families and in your bodies and in your businesses. Amen. I believe that. Well, you just, if you don't believe it, just stick around long enough. You'll see. You'll see. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, lift up your hand and our good-looking ushers will be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. Tonight will be a good night to have one because we're going to cover a lot of scriptures. On the screens, if you can go to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, we're opening up our Bibles to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. On the screens, Isaiah 10 and verse 27. If I'm not mistaken, Friday is Brother Dean's birthday. Amen. Am I right on that? I know it's coming. Yeah. All right. Friday is Brother Dean's birthday. And I tell you what, I would certainly enjoy it if at the end of the service, all of you who can would come down and wish him a happy birthday. Maybe bless him. Brother Dean has been working for this ministry for over 25 years. Amen. Amen. And if there's one word that could sum up Brother Dean, it'd be faithful. Amen. Well, what's a faithful man have? A faithful man shall abound in the blessings of the Lord. And so, Brother Dean, we love you. We thank you so much for your faithfulness to the church. You know, we said a couple of months ago on a Wednesday night, we said faithfulness cannot be demonstrated in good times. No, it's easy to be your friend when it's popular to be your friend. But faithfulness can only be demonstrated in tough times. And Brother Dean, he's been faithful. I mean, through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Brother Dean has been here working with us, helping us, being a huge supply. And so we love you. We're thankful for it. And we're excited to see not only what's going on in your life, but what God has planned for you. We're excited about that. Amen. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 on the screens, Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. We'll start off here in the book of Acts. Acts 10, verse 38. It says, how God anointed, that's our golden word or key word, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So notice here, sickness and disease is not of God. If it was of God, when Jesus was healing, he wouldn't be healing people who were oppressed of the devil. No. Here we see Jesus, every miracle that he did, every healing, every work of power that was in his life was because the devil had oppressed someone. And the way that Jesus was able to set him free, and if you study the ministry of Jesus, the majority of all his miracles were sudden, instant. I mean, just in one moment, things are bound, and the next moment, things are free. In one moment, people are suffering, and the next moment, they're walking in liberty. It was a sudden thing. The way he was able to produce these results was with the anointing that was on his life. The anointing is God's spiritual power. It's when God's power breaks through in our natural realm. And we said this last Wednesday night, when the supernatural meets the natural, something's got to give, and it ain't God. Amen. When God's power comes on the scene, friend, it produces change. And not just change, sudden change. Instant change. And we said this last week. It's important for us to realize that there's only one way to produce a lasting change in someone's life or in your life, and that's the renewal of the mind. And as a church, that's our primary job, is to renew your mind in line with God's Word. That's why we come to church. You ought to be hearing the Word of God and not someone's opinion, because you don't want your mind renewed to someone else's thoughts. You want your mind renewed to God's thoughts. Why? Because His thoughts are a whole lot better than any man's thoughts. Once again, God is smarter than you. I don't care who you are, what degree you have by your name, how many doctorates you have. God is smarter than you. And it's our job to teach the Word. Why? Because once your mind is renewed to the Word of God, you will walk in freedom in every arena of your life. If there's bondage in an arena, it's because your mind has not been completely renewed. Once our mind is renewed, our life is transformed. But the renewal of the mind is not the only power the church has at its disposal. Thank God for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank God for the truths that are in God's Word. It's the only way to produce lasting change. But once again, it's not the only power available to us Christians. There is another power, and it's unfortunate that the majority of the church world is completely unfamiliar with this power, but there is another power available to us, believers, and it's the anointing of God, the power of God. It's given by the Holy Spirit, and we see that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and when He was, it produced a power on His life that enabled people to walk free. And that's the purpose of the anointing, to create sudden change. That when you're walking in it and it's around you and you're experiencing it, it's producing signs, wonders, and miracles. Just things that make you step back and just wonder at it. Because you can tell God's at work. There are some things that need to happen in this world where people can only look at and say, only God can get the credit for that. We need to see more of these things, friend. That's the reason how Jesus was able to step out and have crowds be drawn to Him from hillside to hillside, from city to city. It was because the anointing was in His life. Even the anointing was in His teaching. He said, man, He's not teaching like the scribes and the Pharisees. He's not teaching like all these religious people. When He talks, there's authority behind it. Well, what was that? That was the anointing. And once again, we see in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, it says, in that day their burden shall be lifted from off your shoulders, their yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. If we can pull that over into the King James, that's the NIV, but that's good too. But if we can get that in the King James, that'd be even better. Isaiah 10 and verse 27 in the King James. And it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and His yoke from off your neck. Now watch this. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now notice this. We said this last week. What's a yoke? A yoke would be anything you tie to an oxen and make that oxen pull a heavy weight. A yoke was the thing that connected the weight to the oxen. And we see here that the anointing is designed by God to take off the things that have been holding you back. To take it off of you, friend. And not just take it off, but once it's off, to destroy the thing from ever come on you, from ever coming on you again. To just obliterate it with God's power. This is what the anointing does. Anything that's been holding you back, anything that's been oppressing you, anything that would keep man from living the life Jesus Christ died to give mankind, the anointing is designed to break that thing off of that individual and to destroy it from off their life. That's what the anointing is called by God to do. And friends, we need this power working in our lives. One, because God wants us free. But two, we need this power working in our lives because we are called by God to help set mankind free. Your neighbors need you to be anointed. Your employers need you to be anointed. Your friends, your children, they need the anointing of God in their life. And friends, it's our job to realize His anointing is at our disposal, not just for me to keep me free, but also to deliver it to others and to set them free. Go over to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. When it comes to these types of subjects, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, there's a lot of people who have beliefs about those things based off of experience. And experience is fine so long as it matches the Word of God. And so when we go over subjects like this that have sometimes a lot of misunderstanding to them, we're going to look at a ton of scripture because we want your beliefs on this subject based off of the Word and not off of the experience. Now, once the Word gets in you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have an experience, but it's going to match the Word of God. Luke chapter 4, and let's look here in verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." Do you see how the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and power or the anointing are linked? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the giver of the anointing. He's the giver of power. When Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, was led by the Holy Spirit over into the wilderness, this is where He went on His fast. We'll talk about this Sunday morning. When He came off the fast, He came out under the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was on His life, and He was anointing Him with power. We see further evidence of this in verse 18. Watch what He says here. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me." Now that word's significant. That phrase is significant. The Spirit of the Lord is where? He's upon me. Now why is He there? Why is the Holy Spirit there? Why is He upon Jesus? Because He's what? He's what? He's anointed me. So what's the Spirit of the Lord looking to do when He gets on someone? Anoint him. Well, anoint him to do what? Well, lots of things here. Five in particular. Because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. By my count, we can see that the Holy Spirit is anointing Jesus to, number one, preach. Number one, preach. There is an anointing to preach. And there's a big difference between talking and preaching under the anointing. Anyone can talk, but it takes the Holy Spirit to empower an individual to cause him to be anointed to preach. The first thing that we see the anointing did for Jesus is it enabled him to preach. The second thing was it enabled him to heal. This power at work in Jesus' life was coming from him to others as a tangible reality. We'll show you evidence of this through the scripture. It was so tangible that it would go into someone else's body and they could feel that they were made whole. I mean, they could feel that power at work in their bodies, healing them and working a healing and a cure in their bodies. Well, what was this? This was the Spirit of the Lord upon Jesus, anointing him, giving him power, and this power led to people being healed. The third thing it did is this anointing enabled people to walk in deliverance. It would set them free. If they were captive, this anointing would come and deliver them. The fourth thing it did is it would cause them to recover. What was lost, they would recover it. Here he links it up to where if they were blind, they're recovering their sight. When the anointing is on your life, it enables what was lost to be recovered. Oh, come on, friend. Have you lost anything and you'd like to recover it? Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your life. When the anointing of God is on your life, it enables what was lost to be recovered. Amen. The fifth thing, it enabled him to give liberty. Give liberty. Number one, preach. Number two, heal. Number three, deliver. Number four, recover. And number five, give liberty. Basically, you could sum it up. When the anointing of God is on your life, everything that would seek to bound you and to bind you, it is broken off of you. And you're able to walk in liberty and you're able to walk in freedom. The anointing not only enabled Jesus to heal, but also we read in Acts 10 and verse 38, to do good. Jesus went about with the anointing doing good. Just setting people free, period, is what Jesus came to do. How did he do it? He didn't just do it as the Son of God. He did it as the Son of God, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the giver of the anointing, and what the anointing does, in a nutshell, is set people free. We'll give you an example of this. Go over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. On the screens, if you can go to Acts chapter 6, verses 25 through 26 in the King James. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 26 on the screens. We're opening up our Bibles to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. You know this story. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. But let's look at it in the light of what we're talking about. Mark 5 and verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time to be bound by something. 12 years is a long time, friend. And here's this woman. She's been bound by this sickness, bound by this disease, bound by this pain for 12 years of her life. You could say it this way, for 12 years she had tried to get free. How do we know that? Well, we can keep reading. Watch what she says here, verse 26. And suffered many things of many physicians. You know, medicine back then is not like it was today. There's a lot of experimentation. And it caused her body to be suffered. For 12 years, friend. 12 years. Then, not only did she see many physicians, but she had spent all that she had. But was nothing better. In fact, she grew worse. So here you got a lady doing everything she can in the natural, investing every dollar she has in the natural to get free. But instead of getting free, she's getting more bound. And friends, I'm telling you, this is where the anointing of God has got to be on display. I'm so thankful the story doesn't end here. Watch what happens. It says, but she heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus. Verse 27. And came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I will be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And notice this next phrase. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that word virtue just means power. Where's the power coming from? It's coming from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus said? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And one of the things he's upon me to do is to anoint me to what? Heal. And this is what's happening here. Where'd that power come from? It came by the Holy Spirit that was upon him. In himself, that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? Now notice the anointing can be tangible. This woman felt it go into her body. And she felt this power rushing through her body, working a healing and a cure. She felt in her body she was made whole of that plague. But not only that, Jesus felt it go out of him through his clothes over into that woman. He felt that virtue in his body. So the anointing of God has a tangible reality to it. So here we see this here, that the anointing did something to this woman in an instant. What did it do? It set her free. For 12 years of her life, she had done everything she could to be free, but was nothing better, instead grew worse. But when she came in contact with the anointing, I mean just when she came in contact with the anointing of God, her faith reached out and grabbed hold of that power, and that power turned around her situation in an instant. Suddenly, a miracle took place. Suddenly, there was a change in her life. We see in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, that Paul and Silas are bound in a prison. But watch what they did in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know the story, verse 26. And suddenly, once again, this is when the anointing of God is at work, it's not a gradual change. When the anointing is at work in your life and at work in our services and at work in your finances and at work in your body, it's a sudden change. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So this was an earthquake that didn't just cause things to fall down and create more congestion. This was an earthquake that set things free. Friend, only God can produce an earthquake that makes your bands fall off of you instead of other things falling on you. But what was this? This was God's power breaking through into the natural realm, setting people free. Here we see people being set free from a circumstance. In Mark chapter 5, we see this woman being set free from a sickness and a disease. Well, somebody said, that's all well and good. We know Jesus was anointed. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you this evening, not only was Jesus anointed, but friends, His anointing is alive and well today. Because the anointing didn't originate just with Jesus. It originated with the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that came on Jesus' life that endued Him with power. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's the one who's anointed me. And this is what makes John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 so awesome. I mean, just so wonderful. Because what Jesus is telling them in here is, I'm about to leave you. I'm about to go. And they're nervous because they know Jesus has been the source of the anointing. When He wanted them to be to go heal people, He would lay His hands on them. They'd go with that anointing and produce signs, wonders, and miracles. And a lot of people think that miracles stopped with them because of that. But friends, Jesus said, look, don't be nervous, disciples, because when I go, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you someone. Well, who's He sending? Let's find out. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Well, you know what? No, let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 7. John chapter 16 and verse 7. The Holy Spirit is the giver of the anointing. Would you agree with that from what we've seen in Scripture? It was the Spirit of God that was upon Jesus in Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. He came out in the power of the what? The power of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, we see how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy what? Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Where was this power coming from? It was coming from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus was trying to get across to His disciples and to us in John chapter 16 and verse 7. Notice what He says here. John chapter 16 in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Notice that statement. He said, I'm not lying to you. I wouldn't lie to you. He said, I'm telling you the truth. It is good for you that I leave this place. Well, but Jesus, aren't you the source of all these miracles? No, it's good for you that I leave this place. It's good for you. It's expedient. Well, somebody said, what does that word expedient mean? It means good. Good for you. Anyone got an amplified? Anyone got an amplified down here? Anyone? Yeah. I see Nicole down there. Mom, you got an amplified? Let me see your Bible. Let me read this to you. Yeah. You can put it on the screens too. John chapter 16. You can see I'm not lying to you. Verse 7. Wait, where are we at? There we go. John chapter 16, verse 7. It says, however, I'm telling you the truth when I say it's profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, I think we got it on the screens now, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him what? To you to be, keep going, in close fellowship with you. What's he saying? When I leave, I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm telling you, you're getting a deal. When I leave, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. Well, Jesus, why is that good? Because he's the one who's been on me this whole time, empowering me to do these things. And that's why Jesus could look them straight in the eye and say that the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. Well, Lord, how does that make sense? If you go to the Father, how in the world are we going to do greater things? Because I can't send you the Holy Spirit until I go. Friend, I'm telling you, when Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the grave, led captivity captive, went to heaven, he did more than just save your soul. He also sent unto you the Holy Spirit to be in constant fellowship with you, to be in you and come upon you. And the reason why he did that is so that your life would never be bound by anything. That you would have the life and have it more abundantly to the full until it overflows. What is that? It's the anointing of God. It's the anointing of God. The Holy Spirit is the giver of the anointing. And for you as a believer, I understand ministers can be anointed. We're going to talk about that. There's anointings that can come upon men and women that set them apart and call them into the ministry. It's a beautiful thing. I love it. I agree with Smith Wigglesworth. I'd rather have the anointing of God on my life to minister for 10 minutes in the whole world with a white picket fence around it. I agree with that 100%. But friend, I'm telling you, not only is there an anointing to minister, to preach, to teach, to stand in the office of an apostle or prophet or evangelist, but there's an anointing on every believer. The Holy Spirit, when you got born again, did something. He came in you. In you. Let me show you scripture for it. Go over on the screens to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. And let's go. We're in the book of John. Go over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And let's read a story here. On the screen, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. In your Bibles, John 3, 5 through 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, notice this statement. Now he which established us with you in Christ hath what? Anointed us. Anointed us. Well, what are we anointed to do? What does the anointing do? It causes people to be free. He has anointed us, is God, verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnestness of the Spirit in our hearts. When you got born again, you were born of the Spirit. Well, what's the Spirit there to do? He's there to anoint you. Anoint you to do what? Anoint you to be free. You're going to see here in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, let's look here in verses 5 through 8. What Jesus says here, there's a man named Nicodemus asking him about salvation. And Jesus answered in verse 5 and said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's a natural birth. And then he goes on to say, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the what? Spirit is what? Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it come and whether it goes. So is every one that is born of the what? Spirit. So when you got born again, what did you get born of? You were born of the Spirit. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit made his residence up in you. The Holy Spirit of God is in you. Remember what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth? He said, what are you guys doing? You can't be acting like you're not the temple of God. He is in you. He dwells in you. So he goes on to say, what fellowship does light have with darkness and all of these other things? God is in you. Go over to another scripture here in the book of John. John chapter 4, verse 14. John chapter 4 and verse 14. Jesus is answering the woman at the well, and watch what he tells her. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Holy Spirit within you is there to spring up out of you to produce everlasting life. It's the Holy Spirit in you that gives you not only eternal life, but also has the power to spring up in this life and set you free. The Holy Spirit is the giver of the anointing. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 17. John 14 and verse 17. And then on the screens, if you can pull up 1 John chapter 2, and verse 27, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, John 14 and 17 in your Bibles. Watch what he says here. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth what? With you and shall be where? In you. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in me. What's he doing in there? Well, he came to give me something. Well, what has he given me? He's given me an anointing. That's his job from day one, is to anoint mankind. In the Old Testament, you see the Holy Spirit anointing people for service. Back then, it was the prophet, priest, and king. And we're going to get into that in detail. But friends, the Holy Spirit is in your life to anoint you. Anoint you to do what? Be an overcomer, friend. Where your life is not bound by anything. The anointing is designed by God to destroy the yoke, and you don't just need it from a preacher. It's in you right now. The Holy Spirit is in you right now. And that's why we can boldly say in 1 John, greater is he that is, come on now, where is he? He's in me than he that is in this world. I don't care what you face in this world. You've got something greater in you than anything that you face. It's the anointing of God. And that's why we don't have to be intimidated by any sickness, any disease. Well, somebody says, I don't have the ability to overcome this. You don't need the ability to overcome it. God's got all the ability you will ever need to overcome it. All he needs is what the woman with the issue of blood gave him. And that was her faith. That was her faith. Friends, I want to encourage you. You've got an anointing within you. That anointing is there to help you live this life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27 says this, but the anointing which you have received of him abides where? In you. Question, are you anointed? Yes. Where is the anointing? It's in me. Why is the anointing in me? Because that's where the Spirit of God is, and he is the giver of the anointing. The same Spirit that was on Jesus is in me. He's not triplets. He's not twins. The same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus now abides in me, and he abides in you. Watch this. We're going to come back to this. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things and is of truth and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. You've got an anointing in you. How did it get there? Because the Holy Spirit came in me when I was born again. When you were born again and called upon the name of the Lord, the same Spirit that was on Jesus in Luke chapter 4, you were born of that Spirit, and he is now in you. The Holy Spirit's work in you is primarily for you, but it can and should be released out towards others. Most notably, it's found in Mark chapter 16 that believers have the ability to lay hands on the sick and watch. Okay, you don't believe me. Go over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Let's look at this. You have an anointing where? It's in you. Why? Because that's where the Holy Spirit is. Every believer, I don't care if you're filled with the Holy Spirit or not. If you are born of God, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is in you. And it's the same Spirit that was on Jesus. And He's in you to help set you free. The anointing that's in you is primarily for you, but it can and should be used for others primarily in this function. Mark chapter 16, and let's look here in verse 15. Jesus is giving His commandment to His disciples, and watch what He says here in verse 15. Go ye into what? All the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Notice He did not say these signs will follow apostles. These signs will follow other disciples. These signs will follow other pastors. He said these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Question, believe what? Believe the gospel that the disciples were going in all the world preaching. Well, what do you believe? The gospel that they preached. You're reading the gospel of Mark. We're reading his gospel. If you believe this, which you do, because you're here, I'm guessing you do, unless you just stumbled in tonight. But if you're here and you believe on Jesus, you are believing the gospel that they preach. And notice what he says here in verse 16. And he that believeth shall be baptized, and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. If you believe, that's you. Believe what? Believe the gospel. In my name they. Who's they? The believers. Not the apostles, not other disciples, not other pastors. Who's they? The believers. The believers shall in my name cast out devils. The believers shall speak with new tongues. They, who's they? The believers shall take up serpents. That doesn't mean play with snakes. It just means if a snake bites you, anyway, you're going to be fine. It says here, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now notice this. Why would all those things be the case? Why would a snake biting you not be able to hurt you? Now think about it. How could you drink anything that was full of deadly poison but it not kill you? Because there's something in you that's greater than anything that tries to get in you. The anointing that's in me, it's greater than any poison. It's greater than any venom. It's greater than any sickness. It's greater than any disease. In fact, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in you, and has the ability to quicken, make alive our mortal bodies. And He doesn't stop there. Not only can this anointing stop harm from coming to your body, but apparently it can be transmitted to others. Because watch what He says here next. And they, who's they? Not disciples, not pastor. They, who's they? Believers, the people who believe the gospel. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Come on now, is this the Bible or not? This is not theory. This is not opinion. This is in red, friends. This is Jesus talking to us. And He's saying there's an anointing in you and it's greater than anything that could try to harm you. But not only is it greater than anything that can try to harm you, it can be transmitted from you to someone else. Apparently, just like Jesus transmitted it over to the woman with the issue of blood. Well, somebody says, why don't people get healed then? Because healing requires two things. Number one, the ability of power that's on an individual. And two, the faith of the person it's going into. It wasn't just Jesus' power who healed people. There were a lot of people touching Him that day. But it required faith to tap into that power. Where'd she get her faith? When she had heard of Jesus. Why are people not getting healed? Because they're not hearing what we're saying tonight. They're hearing doctrine. They're hearing dogma that does not come from the Word of God. When you get all that junk out of your head and get God's Word in your heart, it will revolutionize your life because it creates an atmosphere for the anointing. The anointing that is in us is greater than anything in this world because there is nothing in this world that is greater than God. And He is in us. But here's the kicker. Not only does he want to be in you, but he wants to come upon you. Go over to Acts. We'll close with this. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Oh, friends, I preach myself happy. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Watch what he says here. Every believer, I don't care who you are, if you've accepted Jesus, you've been born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in you. What's he in there to do? He's there to give you the anointing. He's there to help you be an overcomer in this life. But not only is he in you, there's also a second experience. There's a baptism in the Holy Ghost. And this is different. This is not him coming in you. He's already there. This is an extra dimension of his power coming upon you. Watch this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive what? Power. Why power? Because that's what the Holy Spirit gives. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Come where? Upon you. Didn't we read somewhere where Jesus was anointed and the Holy Spirit was upon him? Didn't he say over there in Luke, I think it was that we read, the Spirit of the Lord, he is what? Upon me. Remember how I told you, remember that? This is why. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and on the uttermost parts of the earth. So notice, not only does God want to be in us, but he also wants to be upon us. God's power that's in you is primarily for you, but can and should be used for others. God's power that comes upon you is primarily for others, but can and should be used for you. What happens when one is filled with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes upon him? Well, in Acts chapter 2:4, we're going to see what happens. Acts chapter 2:4, once again, when it comes to issues on the Holy Spirit, we don't want opinion, we want the Word of God. If we have an experience, it's because that experience matches God's Word. Acts 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the part of the Holy Spirit coming upon you that can be used for you. In Jude chapter 20, it says, but ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said over there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Psalm 14, he talks about how when we pray in the Holy Ghost, it rises us up. It causes us to be edified, to be charged like a battery. That's the part that can be used for us, but it's also used for others because it helps us pray about things in other people's lives that we wouldn't know to pray for ourselves. This is a separate experience from salvation, and we cover that in another lesson. You can go back and listen to some of the CDs we talked about on Wednesday nights, and we don't have time to go over all that material, but this is the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Why would he want to do that? Because he wants to empower you to give life to others. What did he say in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? The Holy Spirit shall come upon you to cause you to what? Be a witness. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's to empower you to live this life for Christ. Friends, I want to encourage you, you are anointed. You are anointed. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. The same Spirit that was upon Christ is upon you if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's upon you. It's in you and on you. In you and on you. Come on now. It's in you and on you. All the power you ever need, it's in you and on you. What we've got to learn to do, though, is to cooperate with this power. It's like John G. Lake said, electricity existed before man ever knew it. He just one day tapped into it. And when he did, it changed the world. And think about the benefits of technology, the lights, the sound, the speakers, all that we're enjoying now. Because one man tapped into the laws that govern electricity. There are laws that govern this anointing. It doesn't just always flow. If it did, then everyone thronging Jesus that day would have gotten healed. They didn't. Only one woman did. Oh, but when she found out the law that governed the life of God, the anointing of God, and when she tapped into it, buddy, she got hit with the charge just like you would if you stuck your finger in a socket. You're going to find there's electricity there. And friend, I'm telling you, it's time that we learn that there is something called the anointing of God. And if we will tap into it, and if preachers will be bold enough to talk about it instead of just playing church, if we'll tap into it, friends, I'm telling you, it'll change not only our world, it'll change not only your world, but it'll change the world the same way it did in the book of Acts. That's what we're shooting for, friend. If you want to see how to live your life, who do we look at? The life of Jesus. He's our role model. He's our example. If you want to see what a church should look like, don't look at a magazine. Don't go look at a book. If you want to see what a church should look like, read the book of Acts. That's church in its purest. That's church in its newborn self. And what the book of Acts shows us is a church that knew how to flow with the anointing of God. So much so as getting in their shadow. In their shadow. So much so, special miracles were wrought by the anointing of God by laying hands on a handkerchief and apron. And the anointing would get stored in it. Literally stored in it. Like you charge a battery and go plug it into something else and it creates life. It would be stored in it. And they'd take it and lay it on sick people and the sickness and disease would leave these people. Friends, God's the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit. Once again, he's not triplets, he's not twins. We got the same Holy Spirit that was in the book of Acts. We just got to learn how to tap into these laws, and we will with the Lord's help. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray. Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing that's in us and on us. Thank you, Lord, we are born of the Spirit.